You know, everything looked bad for Noah on the inside. He got a glimpse on the outside. And the devil will never show you what you've got, just what you don't have. And I sure do want to thank Him for what He's done for me. I was praying this morning. I said, God, thank You for Your blessing. And thank You for helping me yesterday. I think a lot of times if we had today what we thanked Him for yesterday, we wouldn't have a lot. But He is a God that deserves our praise and a God that needs to be thanked. And I want to encourage you to have an altar, a place where you can go and get along with God. And it sure will make an impact in your life. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God. I guess I could just close my Bible and go on home today. Not in the beginning, man. Not in the beginning theology. Not in the beginning religion. Not in the beginning secular things. Not in the beginning the White House. Not in the beginning Nashville. My God, I'm glad I ain't getting my sermons out of Nashville this morning. But in the beginning capital, God, there's only one of Him. He don't take back seat to nobody, neighbor. If you've got that goofy little sticker on your bumper, then God's your co-pilot. I'd change rides this morning. Because if God can't drive, He ain't a riding. I done found that out. He said, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And I like this, capital, Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Thank You for standing this morning. Father, we're grateful. Sure do need Your touch. God, we're weak in body. But God, we sure do wish You would fill us and thrill us this morning. God, would You take Your Word and send it out? And, oh, would You say some things this morning, and shall it be? Help us now. We'll be grateful. In Christ's name, we ask You. God's people said, amen and amen. I want to deal today in the book of Genesis on the book of beginnings. So many things in Genesis had their beginning there. And I want to tell you this, God didn't have His beginning there. Because God has always been in the beginning, God. Not God in the beginning, but in the beginning, God. And I want to say it is amazing to me, the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth day, the seventh day, God rested, sanctified it. And I still believe that God is honored upon a day of the week when we ought to gather Him and worship Him. In spirit and truth. Now the first day of the week, we're gathered, we worship Him. We have this day set aside. How come, preacher? When John's Gospel, around chapter 20, you'll find the disciples were assembled in the upper room, being the first day of the week, right after resurrection morning. They got together that night and Jesus came to them. And their worship was established in the New Testament church as we know it. That's why we meet on Sunday. We're not a seven-day Adventist. We are Christians, saved by the grace of God. We meet on Sunday. It is a dedicated day, a separated day, that where God's people come apart and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Of course, if you don't worship Him on Monday, you're not going to worship on Sunday, no how. I found out I've been trying to get people to worship on Sunday. I'm going to change, try to get you interested in God on Monday, and then we'll have service on Sunday. Every poor old preacher trying to beat his head against the wall today, getting people to worship on Sunday. Oh, honey, let me tell you, if you worship on Monday, it'll spill over on you on Sunday. Well, I want you to notice in the beginning we find out there was the beginning of the work of redemption. Aren't you glad before anything was, God had me and you on His mind? I'm going to tell you this, if you're saved by the grace of God today, you're not saved because you went looking for Him. You're saved because He come looking for you. You say, well, I found God. No, you didn't. He ain't been lost. He's found you. And certainly in the beginning, God. It took God in the beginning to initiate worship. It took God to initiate salvation. Here we find in the first 4 days of the Bible, God had redemption on His mind. You say, preacher, I've read it 1,000 times. I've never seen it. Well, I want to share it with you today. First of all, you'll notice in verse number 2, the Spirit of God moved. Aren't you glad that we're in a church where the Spirit of God moves? I'm glad the Spirit of God's not far unto us in our services. Matter of fact, if God's not moving, I don't want to be here. Amen. I'm not here to look at what you wore today nor what you drove. Amen. I'm not here for the secular things of this world. I'm here to experience the move of the Spirit of God. Matter of fact, if God would move on you today, amen, you'll come out of darkness into His marvelous light. Ain't it amazing? God initiated the Spirit to move. I sure am glad He still moves in the day and hour that we live. You'll notice this, the earth was without form and void, darkness on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters, and God said. Now, I'm going to tell you this. When the Spirit moves, God will say something. And a lot of times, I can tell you why God ain't saying nothing, because the Spirit's not moving. Boy, we need God to move so He'd say something. Somebody said this morning in revival time, God had sent them a word. You know why? Because the Spirit moved, and God said something. Boy, we sure do need God a moving so He'd say something into our hearts and into our... How many times have you heard an old boring preacher get up, say something, but the Spirit of God wasn't around him, no place. Amen? And therefore, the Spirit... Matter of fact, the Spirit's only going to sanction truth. And I believe we have truth of the Word of God here today. Now, first of all, I want you to notice the Spirit moved in verse number 2. He said, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And not only do you find out the Spirit moved, but when He moved, a word was brought forth. Verse number 3, God said. Aren't you glad the Word's there? We see a triune God this morning. We see the Father. We see the Son and the Holy Ghost. The Son is the Word. And may I tell you, the Word's always been with God, and God's always been with the Word. And therefore, the Word was brought forth. Can I tell you, in John chapter number 1 and verse number 1, there the Bible tells us, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And watch this. The Word was God. Jesus was the Word, and the Word was Jesus. Amen. The same was in the beginning with God. I'm glad we have the Word of God this morning. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Darwin's in hell this morning. If you got that little fish symbol on the back of your car, and you got them little legs stuck out of the bottom showing that you're for Darwin theory, I'm going to bring some good Rottweilers next week, and I'm going to encourage them to eat the trunk off of your car. Amen. Can I tell you, I believe God said and God did it. Darwin's no place about it. I don't believe in evolution. I believe in revolution. I believe God spoke it and it come into existence. You said you believe in the bang theory. I sure do, honey. God said it and it went booyah by the good grace of God. Hey, God's still speaking things into existence this morning. Now you'll notice this. The Word was brought forth. In the beginning was the Word. Look at verse 14. On the first day, He had to bring forth the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, what's your point, Pastor? Upon the first day, I'm glad God had in mind to bring forth His Son. Brought forth a Word. Now, the Word was brought forth, and I'm going to tell you, when it came forth, it brought forth light. I'm going to run this morning. Some of you not getting this. God said, let there be light. I think He said, I am the light of the world. I think He came and lit up our darkness. Aren't you glad that when we was in the darkness of sin, God had His Son on His mind?
Oh, I'm glad he had something prepared for me before I ever knowed anything about it. He said upon the first day, the word came forth and it brought forth light. Honey, you know when your dark world's going to be lit up? When the good God of glory comes by you in the word of God and he lights up your dark place. Said that it brought forth light. He said, let there be, and so there was. Certainly the word brings forth light. I like what Simeon said in Luke chapter number 2 concerning Jesus as the light. In Luke 2 and 25, the Bible said, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. His name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. He came by the Spirit in the temple. He is a Holy Ghost filled man. I like to get around them kind of people, go to church, feel the Spirit of God around the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do after him after the customs of the law, then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Here it is, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Now I'm glad that the word brought forth light. I'm glad Jesus is the light of the world. In John chapter number 8 and verse number 12, we see, we'll back up this text where Jesus said this, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am. And he could stop right there, because he's everything. But he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You say, preacher, I need direction for my life. Well, if you'll walk with him, he said he'd bring you light. And let me tell you something, honey, if light's not shining in your dark place, leave it alone and don't go no further. You can only go as far as the light is a shining. A lot of people say, well, how will I know the will of God? God's so big you can't miss him. If you'll just go along with him in the pathway of light, he will light up your pathway. You'll not stumble. You'll not detour, honey. When we get in troubles, when we get away from him and get in darkness, and we go about our own bends, and boy, have I gotten a lot of trouble walking on my own. Have I gotten a lot of troubles doing things on my own? Didn't ask God about nothing, just sort it out and went to doing it. For long, I was billy goat sick, amen? Anybody ever felt like they swallowed a billy goat on Sunday morning? I'm talking about when you went out and bought something that you didn't pray about. When you went and built something you didn't pray about. And for long, you're living with what you done. Ain't you glad? He is a God of light. When we walk with him, he lights up our pathway of darkness. Certainly we see upon the first day, God brought forth his word and brought forth light. Now I want to say that his word was brought forth. His word brings forth light. Verse number 4, look what it says. Now this is important. God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. What are you saying? Well, God saw the light was good. Did you know when Jesus was baptized, heaven opened? He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. When God seen the word brought forth on the first day, he said, boy, this is a good day. Can I tell you the best day in your life is when the day the Lord Jesus came to your house? Can I tell you the best day in my life is when the Lord Jesus came to my dark world? Oh, what a day that God had in mind of his Son to give for sinners. Amen. I'm glad he hung on a cross for me and for you. Thank God upon the first day God had his Son on his mind. He brought him forth to light this world. He said, it is good. Can I tell you, God is still good. God is great. God is good. Hallelujah. Let us thank him for our food. Let us thank him for everything this morning. He deserves all of our praise. We can't gloat in what we've done, but God is good. Turn around, tell somebody God's good this morning. He is good. He makes no mistakes. In him is no darkness at all, friend. Hey, he loves sinners. I'm glad he loved us when we was unlovable. I'm glad the rose of Sharon. He's the doorway to glory. He's the masterpiece of heaven. He's the gate of heaven. Thank God he's the way, the truth, and the life. I'm glad he's good. Good this morning, friend.
God seated, he said, it is good. Can I tell you, he's never made a mistake. He's never wobbled or wavered. He is good and lovely and deserves all of our praise today. On the first day, we see the word came forth. God said it was good. You'll notice also upon this first day, verse number 4, he said, and God divided the light from the darkness. Can I tell you, there was a difference in the Son of Man and the sons of men. I want to say it again today. Can I take this tie off? It's bothering me this morning. The feller invented that thing. He ought to be hung up under an oak tree with it somewhere. Amen. But I'm telling you today, God divided light from the darkness. Can I tell you there's a big difference in the Son of Man and the sons of men? Can I tell you he took upon him the fashion of a man, came and walked in this world, but yet he never knew sin. Can I tell you he was tempted at all points as we were, but yet he never gave in to temptation. You know why? He was the God-man. He got on the bow of the boat one day and the disciples come to him. He said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose and rebuked the winds and the waves. They said, oh, what manner of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey his voice. I'm glad he's God man today. Jehovah Witness said he's a good man. Jehovah Witness said he was a prophet. But honey, God said he's a lot more than that. He's a God man. God manifested in the flesh to take away the sins of this world. He's God man today. God divided the light from the darkness. Can I tell you, he walked in this world as man, but yet he never knew sin. The spotless Lamb of God come to take away the sins of the world. Honey, he's not our buddy. Amen. He's not the man upstairs. He is the God of glory that God sent him to take away our sin. Thank God he's altogether alive, everyone today. And God divided light from darkness. We see upon the first day the giving of his Son. Number 2, you'll notice upon the second day, ain't that just like God, that he'd do something for me and you that we knew nothing about? Can I tell you, upon the second day, we see that he brought in a cross. He brought in division. You'll notice in the second day, in verse number 6-8, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. God made the firmament divide the waters which are under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Sound like to me he did this. Sound like to me he divided some things. Amen. And then watch your Bible. He said this. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning was the second day. Now the cross was typified. We see the definition of the cross. It had divided. The design of the cross, it brought separation. Can I tell you, the cross still brings separation. You know what's the difference between us and Muslim? It's the cross. You know what's the difference between us and that world? It is the cross. Can I tell you, the cross brings division. God divided this world from the church by a cross. Lord, I wish this pollen wasn't making me hack this morning. I'd run around about a half a day on that thought right there, honey. God has divided this world by a cross. Matter of fact, he said, come out from among them and be ye separate. The church has got to looking way too much like the world. God's always divided the church from the world. A cross makes us different. Aren't you glad that he brought a division in your life and he separated the flesh and the spirit by the good grace of God? Now, he brought a firmament in and he brought a dividing factor. And can I tell you the definition of this cross and the design of this cross? But there was the desire of this cross. You'll notice the desire in verse number 6. God said, let there be. Can I tell you, the cross was not a second thought with God. You'll notice in the book of Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 8, well, God had the cross on His mind in the beginning. Can I tell you, Calvary was not an ambulance sent to a mistake, but God had a plan. In Revelation 13 and verse number 8, there the Bible says this, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world, God seen a cross. I'm glad He had sinners on His mind. But honey, if you're going to heaven, He said He made a firmament that would get into heaven. I'm glad today the cross and only the cross will get us to heaven. If you take an analogy today from this world, you'll get their assessments. They'll tell you a lot of roads lead to heaven. Jesus said He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. If you're going to heaven, you're going by a bloody cross. That's the only way you're going is by the blood of the cross this morning. He said a lamb slain for the foundation of the world. Now on the second day this cross was typified. We see the definition of the cross. The design of the cross. The desire of the cross. But I want you to look at the declaration of the cross. This is amazing to me. This is the only day God never said it was good. Look what He said now. Every other place you'll notice He said. He said upon the first day, God said something. He said, oh my, this is good. He said it was in verse number 4. And then upon the third day, in verse number 10, He said it was good. And He said it again in 12, that was good. And then He said in verse 18, after the fourth day it was good. And then He said after the fifth day, in verse 21, it was good. And then He said in verse number 25, after the fifth day, it was good. Must have been good to Him. And then you'll notice upon this second day when the cross came, God never said it was good. You know why? Because sin always upsets God. Can I tell you, when if we had to send our son the best thing we had to rescue sinners, it wouldn't be a good day for us either. But oh my, can I tell you that on the second day, God brought forth a cross. So He's got His son. He's got His cross. Now look on the third day. Isn't this amazing of types in the Old Testament, what happens on the third day? There's resurrection takes place. He said this on the third day, and God said. He's still running things by His word, by the way. God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together to one place. Let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth. And the gathering together, the waters called the seas. And God saw that it was good. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, the tree yielding fruit whose seed was itself after his kind. God saw that it was good. The evening and the morning were the third day. What's your point, preacher? Resurrection. He said, let dry land appear. Can I tell you that a dead Savior can't save anybody? But in Hebrews chapter number 7 and verse number 25, we have this. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that cometh unto God by him. Underline this. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Can I tell you that a dead Savior can't save anybody? Buddha can't save anybody because he's in the grave. Confucius can't do nothing for you, honey. He's in the grave. By the way, I love that song Brother Chris sings. Amen. I wish I could sing it. I'd strike out this morning and try a tune of it. But you know, he walked through there and he looked in the grave of Muhammad and found his bones. But he walked in a garden and he couldn't find none there. Ain't you glad that on the third day Jesus got up? Can I tell you, he got up to live for you. And can I tell you, he's on the right hand side of God. Look what he says, forever liveth. He's alive forevermore. You say, preacher, how do you know all this is real? Because He's alive in my heart. One day He come by and made my spirit alive. I want to share something with you today, a real deep thought. Hang on just a minute, then I'm going to go on and finish preaching. But I want to share this with our church this morning. I want you to listen real good. Now, man is a tripartite. In other words, three separate beings. The spirit is capable of God conscience. The soul is that is self-conscience. You know, when you do something and it bothers you inside. And your body, it has the senses of conscience. We can see, taste, feel, touch. And so certainly this tripartite, God is triune God, God Father, God Son, God the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. When Adam sinned in the garden, that's where our trouble came. God created him in the splendor of holiness and righteousness. He said, Adam, don't you mess with the fruit of that tree down yonder. Don't you mess with that tree. Of course, Satan deceived Eve. And then, certainly, Adam, knowing what had done, he partook of it. And there was a fall that had happened. You know what had happened in this fall? Now listen. The spirit fell to the level of the soul. When Adam died, his spirit was not annihilated, it was alienated. And the spirit fell to the level of the soul and ceased to function separately. So therefore today the unregenerate man is dominated by his soul, which is the seat of lust and passion and emotion. But when a man comes to Christ, he puts his spirit in him and divides that spirit and soul from asunder. Isn't that amazing what the Bible taught us in Hebrews 4 and verse number 12? Boy, this right here is a wonderful truth. Watch this. For the Word of God's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Watch this. Here it is. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints of the marrow and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When the Word goes out, it separates the soul and the spirit. And when God comes in, the spirit begins to live and you become God conscious. You know why church is so boring? Some of y'all, you don't have the Spirit of God living in you. Some of y'all looking around, that old seed of man's making all your decisions. Boy, that lustful old man, that old nature that we've all still got in there. But let me tell you, honey, one day when God come down to my house in 1981, the Spirit of God came from above and regenerated. Why do you think He said a man must be born again? By the Spirit of God. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of it. Now, I've got an old nature and I got a new nature. Watch this. The Bible says those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You can't worship God by your conscience. You sure can worship Him by the Spirit that He puts in you. The Spirit in you says, hallelujah, glory to God. And His Spirit comes and they come together in a part where we can worship it. You can't worship God out of conscience. He said He seeks such those to worship Him in spirit and in truth. When Adam fell, that spirit was severed and fell to that conscience. But boy, when God comes by and regenerates us by the Spirit of God, we're born again. Now we have God's Spirit in us and lets us live forever. And can I tell you that spirit and soul don't go to a purgatory. Amen. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. The rich man lift his eyes in hell. He wasn't in a place where somebody could pray him out of that place. It's either heaven to gain or hell to shun this morning. And boy, when Adam fell in the garden, that great fall, he put us all into depravity. You know why we all can't go to heaven? Because Adam is our forefather. You can trace his blood lineage all the way back to the garden. That's where we all come from. That's why God sent His Son on the first day, put a cross the second day. He died on the third day. Guess what? Whoop, He got up. And He ever lives to make intercession for men. Now when a sinner comes to Christ by faith, it is an amazing work Grace is what He's done on a cross by faith. When we reach up and accept what He's done, the Spirit of God baptizes us in the family of God. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse 13 says. It says He places us in the family of God. Now, all around this world, we that have been born again by the grace of God, the Spirit of God lives in us, we're kin in the family of God. Boy, that's why some of you are so bored in church. The Spirit of God don't live in you. Amen. Some of y'all look around, well, why are they doing that? Because the Spirit of God's in us. Amen. The Spirit of God moved. Aren't you glad one day He moved on you? Matter of fact, John 6:44 says, no man comes to the Father except when it's said Him. Draw Him. Brother Jonathan preached a revival of the night. Great message on the blood. Whosoever, I believe it with all my heart. I believe whatsoever. John chapter 4. The moving of the water. Man, of whatsoever disease he had was put in and made. I believe it don't matter what you've done or how long you've been doing it. The blood of Jesus can save. But it's never in that Bible, whensoever. Because God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Boy, aren't you glad there's hope for us because of resurrection morning. Now, I want you to notice, I noticed something here studying this out earlier today. On this resurrection, on this third day. Now, a dead Savior can't save anybody. He commanded the earth to bring forth, and it did. And then, look in verse 10 and verse number 12 of Genesis 1. He said in verse number 10, it was good. And look in verse number 12, he said it was double good. He said it was so good that He got up out of the grave for you. Can I tell you, it's still good that He got up out of the grave for you. Oh, I'm glad He ever lives to make intercession for us. Now, okay, preacher, you got a few more days. What's up with that? Well, the first day the Word came forth. Jesus was manifested in the flesh. He was sent for sinful men, but He had never known sin. Number two, God had a cross. The second day, He divided the firmaments. The third day, He brought forth out of the heart of the earth. The Lord Jesus got, well, what's the fourth day? Well, if you wasn't so dead, you could rejoice in this with me. God said, there's ascension. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for the lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And He made the stars also. What are you saying on this ascension? Well, these two great lights are Christ and His people. In Malachi 4 and verse number 2, He is the Son of Righteousness. And then said the lesser light to rule by night. The moon is the church. Watch this. It only reflects light from the sun. He said, after the third day, you know what y'all need to start doing? You need to look up. And you need to remember that that fireball in the sky is the sun, and He's ruling it by day. Can I tell you, if that sun never... wouldn't it be awful to be in Alaska? Some 2-3 hours of daylight. They say it's the biggest state of depression of any state that makes up our good country. People there are destitute. People there are so downgraded. And boy, when we can step out of our ports in the mornings and that sun's come up, can I tell you, He's still ruling the darkness by His light. When He shines in, darkness leaves. I'm glad one day when He come to my house and shined that light in me, I said, Lord, I want this light in my life more than anything, and this darkness left me. Can I tell you, I have done some things I'm not proud of since I've been saved, but I don't hang out there no more. Boy, I could do it with the best of the party crowd. I mean, I knowed how to throw a party. Amen. But now I know how to stir worship. I'm glad one day that great light came shined in me. We got a man sitting right here on the front. I've heard stories be told about that old Legion Hall over here that burned up. Said people would come get him just to arm wrestle after midnight to take their money out there in that cesspool of sin. And he can tell you some tales he ain't real proud of. Brother Mike, you and Brother David's been around some things you're not proud of. But let me tell you, honey, one day when that sun came out, shined in my dark world. Oh, I realized just how sinful I was. I realized how bad I needed Him. Boy, when I made that first step toward Him, the light come on. And guess what? It stayed on. Isn't that amazing? Jesus ascended. You know what He's doing today? He's sitting on the right-hand side of the Father, interceding for me and you. And then on the fifth and the sixth day, God added things to the family. And you know what He said on the seventh day? He rested. It was a work that He was appeased with. Can I tell you the only thing that's going to satisfy a holy God is the blood of His darling Son? That amazes me. I want you to think about something in it. Then I'm going to give an invitation. I want you to think about, of all the things God could have done to save us. Because it was His plan. He didn't choose membership to save us. And we've got one of the best churches in this nation. I know that. But let me tell you, just because you're a member here don't mean you're going to heaven. He didn't choose giving to get to heaven. We got some of the greatest givers in this church and this ministry. But you know what? Your money won't get you into heaven. You know, He didn't say if you recite this Bible, you could go to heaven. But I tell you what He did say. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's amazing that God chose to give His Son to get me out of hell. That is amazing that God loved me like that. Now you think about it, folks. It was God's plan. He could have devised any plan. He's got one plan to get you to heaven. That was the death of His Son. Sin must have been bad ugly to God. A lot of times we play around with sin like it ain't no issue. Let me tell you, it's an issue with God. Sin means a trespass. And we've trespassed against God. Our nature. You remember there was a rich young ruler. And boy, he thought he was doing good. He said, well, you know, how am I going to go to heaven? He said, I'm going to keep this law. He said, I've kept it jot and tittle. No, he lied right there. There's nobody here can keep the Ten Commandments. Nobody here. You say, well, preacher, I'm going to do better and live right. That'll get you in hell. There's none good, no, not one. But when Jesus gave His life for us on the cross, God said, I'll tell you what, it's finished. And if you don't accept what I've done for you, hell will be your... I've heard this a lot. Preacher, why does God send people to hell? He don't. You send your own self to hell. He's done all He can do. You got to believe what He's done provided for you and accept it by faith. I remember one time in our first church in Alabama, I went to a man's house. Young boy in the church, he had got saved. He said, preacher, would you go see my daddy? We went. I talked with him a little bit, and he said, I'm going to come to y'all's church Sunday morning. I'll be there. Well, he came that morning. God gave me a message, and I preached it. And I give an invitation. He come, and he grabbed me, and he's real troubled. He is an elderly man. I said, sir, what do you need? And this is what he said. He said, preacher, I'm going to hell. And I want to be saved. You know what I done? And it caught me by surprise. I guess I was so excited that he'd come. But I said, pray, ask God to save you. Well, I stepped away to start the invitation again. Brother Mike, he grabbed me. And he said, "Don't leave me. I don't know how to pray." And I got down beside him. And I said, "Well, just say something like this out of your heart." He got up. Now, he was said he was an atheist when he come in. The young boy sent me to his house. He said, "Now, preacher, you need to know something. My daddy don't like preachers. He don't like nobody. He don't believe in God. He's an atheist." He pulled his glasses down. And I'll never forget what he'd done. He said, "Preacher, can I say something?" I said, "Oh, I want you to." He pulled his glasses down. He looked at my congregation. That's what he said. "I come in there not believing in God. But," he said, "the Lord just saved me." Did you know, within a few short weeks, I buried him? Brother Mike, he called his boys to the foot of his bed. And that's what he said. He said, "Pastor, do I need to do anything else?" I said, "No, sir. No, sir." I said, "You got the peace of God in your heart?" "Oh, yes, preacher. I know he done that for me." I said, he looked at them boys. He said, "Boys, don't do like I've done. Waste your life the way I've done in front of you." He said, "Be saved." He crossed the river. He's waiting there. I believe he's in heaven just sure as I believe Moses is in heaven. I believe he's there. Can you imagine, church, if we could ever get stirred on this thought to think when we get there and the people that we're going to see that we've been an influence and a witness to, what kind of celebration. I could just imagine him coming and saying, "Hey, preacher, I want to tell you something. Said, I done got here about 30 years before you did, but I won't tell you something. I sure am glad you come down my house and told me there was a Jesus that saved. I sure am glad you bowed down. I sure am glad you come to church and opened the doors of that little church that Sunday when nobody else knowed who you were. The God of glory had me there and he saved me that Sunday. And preacher, I've been waiting all that time just to tell you thank you." What's your number, Brother Dave? Come on, whatever we need to do this morning. I want to ask you something.